Part 1. The Frontiersmen. The crowded career of George Washington afforded him little leisure to indulge his vanity or gratify his curiosity by conducting genealogical research into his family. As he admitted, sheepishly, when president, "This is a subject to which I confess I have paid very little attention. My time has been so much occupied in the busy and active scenes of life from an early period of it, that but a small portion of it could have been devoted to researches of this nature." The first Washington to claim our attention was, ironically, the casualty of a rebellion against royal authority. During the English Civil War, Lawrence Washington, George's great-great-grandfather and an Anglican minister, was hounded from his parish in the Puritan cleansing of the Church of England under Oliver Cromwell. This shattered a cozy existence that intermingled learning with modest wealth. Lawrence had spent the better part of his childhood at the family residence, Salgrave Manor, near Banbury in Oxfordshire, before earning 2 degrees at Brasenose College, Oxford. He later served as a fellow of the college and a university proctor. Persecuted by the Puritans as one of the scandalous malignant priests, he was accused of being a common frequenter of alehouses, which was likely a trumped-up charge. His travails may have spurred his son John to seek his fortune in the burgeoning tobacco trade with North America. After landing in Tidewater, Virginia, in late 1656, John Washington settled at Bridges Creek, hard by the Potomac River in Westmoreland County. Less a committed colonist than a temporary castaway, John was stranded when heavy squalls grounded his ship and soaked its precious cargo of tobacco, prompting him to tarry in Virginia. One marvels at the speed with which the young man prospered in the New World, exhibiting certain traits, a bottomless appetite for land, an avidity for public office, and a zest for frontier combat, that foreshadow his great-grandson's rapid ascent in the world. John also set a precedent of social mobility through military laurels after he was recruited to fight Indians in Maryland and was rewarded with a colonel's rank. In this rough-and-tumble world, he was accused of slaughtering 5 Indian emissaries and cheating tribes of land, activities that won him the baleful Indian nickname of Conotacarius, which meant destroyer of villages or town devourer. He also found time to woo and wed Anne Pope, whose well-heeled father favored the newlyweds with 700 acres of land. John piled up an impressive roster of the sort of local offices, Justice of the Peace, Burgess in the Virginia Assembly, Lieutenant Colonel in the County Militia, that signified social standing in colonial Virginia. Most conspicuous was his omnivorous craving for land. By importing 63 indentured servants from England, he capitalized upon a British law that granted 50 acres to each immigrant, and he eventually amassed more than 5,000 acres, with the single largest property bordering the Potomac River at Little Hunting Creek, the future site of Mount Vernon. It was John's eldest son from his first marriage, Lawrence Washington, who inherited the bulk of his father's estate and became paternal grandfather of the first president. With the monarchy restored in England, Lawrence had been educated in the mother country before settling in Virginia, where he, too, collected an array of local posts, Justice of the Peace, Burgess, and Sheriff, that complemented his work as an attorney. Lawrence Washington's untimely death in 1698 occurred when his second son, Augustine, the future father of George Washington, was only 3 or 4 years old. Raw-boned and good-natured, Augustine Washington remains a shadowy figure in the family saga, little more than a hazy but sunlit memory for his famous son. A strapping man, 6 feet tall with a fair complexion, he was favored with that brand of rustic strength that breeds backwoods legends. From spotty early records, Augustine emerges as a remorseless, hard-driving businessman. He started with 1,100 acres that he inherited along the Potomac, and augmented that with 1,750 acres from the dowry of his first wife, Jane Butler. He specialized in tobacco farming, until he began snapping up properties rich in iron ore at Accokeek Creek near Fredericksburg. In 1729, he traveled to England to seal a contract with the Principio Company, which owned iron operations in Virginia and Maryland. By the time he returned to Virginia, his wife had died, saddling him with the care of 3 small children, 2 sons,